Hi, this is Jerome Gilmartin, JMJ Catholic Radio, bringing local and EWTN Catholic programming to northeastern and central Pennsylvania. Welcome to the In the Father's Hands program with host Mary Kate Grady. And her guest today is Edward Clancy. After graduating from New York University with a degree in economics and working for a time in sales, he felt called to serve God through the Aid to the Church in Need organization. Now, 22 years later, he is the director of outreach for Aid to the Church in Need. Originally from Brooklyn, New York, Edward lives there today with his wife and two children. Mary Kate?
Thank you so much, Jerry, and we're so pleased, of course, to be back with you all again. The lovely octave of the Feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, leading to her crowning next Sunday, and just a grace-filled month, August, is of Feast of the Virgin Mary and other great saints. So we're so happy to have you with us today. And I would just like to make a mention, as a reminder, our program, In the Father's Hands, can be found on podcast. It's entitled In the Father's Hands, or you could also listen on JMJ Catholic Radio, 7:50 a.m. here in Scranton, and our program is on Saturdays and Sundays, and it is on Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m., and it's on Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. And just a reminder, you can catch JMJ Catholic Radio also via the Internet. So please go ahead and give a listen and spread the word out there to everyone about JMJ Catholic Radio. They have great programming on there, so please take advantage of that. So let's go ahead as we always do and take a second to reflect upon the passage from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 10, verses 27, where Jesus promises, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hands. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." We thank you, Lord Jesus, for telling us this great promise and easing our minds and hearts to know that everything that happens in our life, every moment of our life, we are being held by our Heavenly Father. And I'm so pleased today to have Edward Clancy joining me today. Edward, thank you for coming on the program.
You're very welcome. It's an honor to be here with you.
And Edward, I like to start with actually the hardest question I've been finding with all my guests is to pick one or two of their favorite scripture verses and to share with us a little bit about why it means so much to you.
Well, a verse, or actually it's a whole psalm that is very close to my heart, is Psalm 22, which is the psalm that Jesus says from the cross. And it starts with, my God, why have you abandoned me? Why so far from my call for help, from my cries of anguish? My God, I call by day, but you do not answer. By night, and I have no relief. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the glory of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted, and you rescued them. To you they cried out, and they escaped. In you they trusted, and were not disappointed. But I am a worm, not a man, scorned by men, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They curl their lips and jeer. They shake their heads at me. He relied on the Lord. Let him deliver him. If he loves the Lord, let him rescue him. For you drew me forth from the womb, made me safe at my mother's breasts. Upon you I was thrust from the womb, since my mother bore me. You are my God. Do not stay far away from me, but trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me, fierce bulls of Bashan encircle me. They open their mouths against me, lions that rend and roar. Like water, my life drains away, all my bones are disjointed. My heart has become like wax, it melts away within me. As dry as post-herd is my throat, my throat cleaves to my palate. You lay me in the dust of the earth. Dogs surround me. A pack of evildoers closes in on me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They stare at me and gloat. They divide my garments among them. For my clothing they cast lots. But you, Lord, do not stay far off. My strength, come quickly to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my life from the grip of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, my poor life from the horns of the wild bulls. Then I will proclaim your name to my brethren. In the assembly I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, give praise. All the descendants of Jacob, give honor. Show reverence, all descendants of Israel. For he has not spurned or disdained the misery of this poor wretch. Do not turn away from me, but heard me when I cried. I will offer praise in the great assembly. My vows I will fulfill before those who fear him. The poor will eat their fill. Those who seek the Lord will offer praise. May your hearts enjoy life forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of nations will bow low before him. For kingship belongs to the Lord, the ruler over the nations. All who sleep in the earth will bow low before God. All who have gone down into the dust will kneel in homage. And I will live for the Lord. My descendants will serve you. The generation to come will be told of the Lord, that they may proclaim to the people yet unborn the deliverance you have brought. And it has always touched me because of the misunderstanding that there was at the cross when Jesus said the words, Eli, Eli. And immediately they thought, oh, he's calling to the prophet. But really, they were perhaps not biblically literate. You know, they didn't know the Psalms as many prayerful Jews would have. But we realized that he was proclaiming the psalm, and it was a psalm of deliverance, but it's a psalm of sorrow, but of also of deliverance. And I think, especially in my role with AIDS at the Church in Need, it was important for me always to reflect on this psalm, because there are times when we all will go through tough times. I remember distinctly when my daughter, my first child, my wife and I's first child was born, and immediately she was having trouble breathing. And at that moment, there was this sense of hopelessness or helplessness. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to fall into that. And I just said, really, to God, this is in your hands. I can no longer control this. And really, just it was a sense of abandonment. And thank God, yes, there was rejoicing. My daughter had to spend a week in NICU, and she recovered from breathing issues. Her lungs now work fine, and she's a healthy young girl. But things like this, when they happen, are reminders that, you know, we are meant to struggle. We're not meant to have this easy path. But the Lord is always with us, and the Lord will help us. He doesn't give us all the help we want. He just gives us the help we need. And that, for me, is very important.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. I hear bits and pieces of that psalm read at different times, but you don't necessarily get to hear it all the way through to the end. I enjoyed listening to it all the way through, you know, all the beginning, middle, and end of that. It's important, I think, to hear the whole thing. So thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
And I don't know if this is actually an easier question, because usually when I ask people their favorite Bible verses, they have so many, it's hard to choose one, but I just wanted to
ask. Well, it wasn't easy.
It wasn't easy, no. See?
All right, Edward. So I always like to ask my guests the question, kind of a general, broad question, but how do you feel like God has led you in your life to where you're at right now?
Well, honestly, that would be maybe an answer that would last the whole show. God is always leading, and I guess I made the wise but perhaps slightly difficult choice many years ago in my life to seek his direction in what I do. And I mean, I guess sort of the seminal moment happened for me in 1993 when I was in the Holy Land. I was in actually on the Sea of Galilee during a pilgrimage, and had spent the first few days really seeking Jesus and didn't really find a connection. But I saw it and then was really kind of down, and we went to the Sea of Galilee, and while in the Sea of Galilee, I heard my name called, literally, and it sounded strange to me. And it, even when I repeated it, sometimes sounds strange. And I turned around thinking it was a friend who was on the same pilgrimage, and didn't see him. He was nowhere near me, so
yeah,
I just went back into myself, my little pity world, self-pity, and heard my name again. This time it was Edward, turn around. And I thought to myself, it was like shocking, because who calls me Edward? I mean, my friends, very few of them call me Edward. So I turned around kind of sort of slightly uneasy. But when I did, I felt like a veil was lifted. And I saw on the Sea of Galilee lights. And I realized that while I was traveling through the Holy Land, I had witnessed a lot of things that were Jesus. A lot of people were Jesus in the flesh and didn't realize it. And it wasn't until that moment when I saw the lights and the cars and the houses along the Sea of Galilee that I realized it was the people. And I was looking for Jesus, you know, Jesus. And he was there the whole time. And, you know, so that was 1993. And then sometime after that, I just had a question. Why? What do you want me to do, God? And the Christmas of 1994, I made the decision, I'm going back to the Holy Land. I'm going back to Israel, to Jerusalem, and to the places around it to find out the answer to that. And it was 1995. I just quit my job in sales and then went to stay actually at St. Peter in Gallicanto, which is on Mount Zion.
Okay.
And right. Lived there for, you know, the better part of a year, seeking an answer. I thought perhaps I was called to be a priest, serve some role in the church, but didn't know what. And then when I realized that I wasn't called to be a priest, I said, okay, God, now what? And so I went back to my job in sales because I didn't know what else to do. And then I was working, given an offer to do a job in construction management. I took it because I enjoy that. But I found that my life was, you know, a lot of paperwork. So one day I had this sense while sitting at my computer typing stuff in that I was going to get a message from God, that he was going to ask me something very soon. And within 20 minutes, I got a phone call. And I was just like, again, astonished. And it was the person that I went with on the pilgrimage who said to me, Ed, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm filling out forms. He said, no, what are you doing with your life? And I stopped and thought and said, well, actually, that's what I do with my life. I fill out forms. And he said, I want you to work for me. I want you to come work for me. And I knew that he worked for Aid to the Church in Need. I knew the basic work of it. I didn't know the intimate details. And I just said, yes. And that was it. And
wow.
You know, I took it blindly to think, okay, God, this is an answer. It fits all of my desires. I want to serve you. I want to work in the church. I want to help people. I don't know what Aid to the Church does on the day-to-day level. I know the sort of the mission statement, but not the intimate details. And I took the job and I started out as business manager, you know, because I did have a business background. But my real desire was always to be more in the line of communication and more in the line of actually speaking up for those who have no voice. Our founder said, you know, that we speak for the voiceless. And that's why it's such a great honor now to speak, because I do get the opportunity to voice the concerns of the suffering church, of those who are persecuted because they attest to faith in Jesus Christ.
Wow, that was a radical acceptance to that call.
Yes.
Well. You know, just, okay, yes, I'll work there. That must have been like such grace there for you to just say yes like that, you know?
Well, that's one of the things that I know when it's good. I mean, I guess this is the universal truth, that when you have a sense of, a definite sense of mission and also a sense of peace, I just had an overwhelming sense of, yes, this is it. And
those,
of course,
those moments don't always come, right? That's
no,
it's few and far between.
Exactly. And Psalm 22 in a lot of senses like that, because I did go through a lot of struggles. And I was trying to build a business, and I had some failures and some different things that would were happening. You know, again, maybe I missed my call. Maybe I was called to be a priest. What's going on in my life? And, you know, and so that all of those things were happening. And yet I was just, again, like the psalmist, just staying true to my plea to God for help, but also welcoming an opportunity to praise him once I did get that help, once the answer was given to me.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So kind of where have you gone with this and working for the Aid to the Church in Need, Edward? You've been there for 22 years, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, a few of the things that were big changes. I mean, when I started working, it was October of 2020. October of 2000. And
okay.
Less than a year later was when September 11th happened, when the attacks happened. And our office at that time was less than a mile away from Ground Zero, from the World Trade Center. And the day that it happened, I heard the boom.
Wow.
And went up on the roof of the building that was a church, and we were occupying the former rectory, and saw the buildings on fire. And, you know, because I had access to the church, I went downstairs and opened the door and went in and just knelt before the tabernacle and prayed, knowing in my heart that the world had changed. And, you know, it really did. And then again, in 2014, when ISIS attacked and took the Nineveh Plains, was another sort of incredible moment of realization that the church is under attack. And those are two times when the world became more aware of, you know, what the church goes through and what Aid to the Church in Need does. And it's unfortunate that, you know, our, you know, advance of our message had to come at this price. But I often tell people that, you know, when they talk about the suffering of Christians around the world, and I ask them, well, where is the place of the most persecution? And they may guess a couple of different countries. And, you know, so they usually four or five of the usual suspects. And I say, well, in 2014, when Syria and Iraq, parts of those countries were lost to ISIS, did you know that the country at that time who had the most attacks on Christian population was Nigeria? And that every year since then, it pretty much leads, you know, the statistic in most attacks on Christians. And it is estimated that more than 40,000 Christians have died in the last 12 years. And
wow,
it doesn't decrease. It always seems to be this number of 3,000 to 4,000 a year, every year. And yet you see in Nigeria a church that's still alive. But at the same time, how long will they last if they have to deal with this for generations, not just a decade or two?
Sure.
And this is where we as Catholics, as Christians, are called to assist, both in prayer, obviously, in support of some of the work that they are doing on the ground and can't afford it. For example, up in the northern part of Nigeria, where the church is very small in number and very poor, and yet they have vocations. You know, the seminary in Kaduna was closed down for 3 months because of terrorist attacks, and yet the seminarians continued. In a lot of places, when the seminaries close, the seminarians just disappear. They haven't, and this is an affirmation of their faith. And to me, it's a great, you know, a great message of hope. And then we see also in places like, you know, in Asia, in China, in places in all over Africa. I mean, Africa is really a continent that has a lot of difficulties. And yet there is the faith. And whether it's a remnant or it's this large population like exists in Nigeria, these people continue regardless of the cost. And so it helps me to understand that, you know, we have something worth fighting for. And it's important for, you know, for me as a Catholic, for me as a person of belief, that I support them. And that's why Aid to the Church in Need is such a vital part of this, that we support 1 in 9 seminarians in the world and about 1 in 11 vocations of all types.
Okay.
So, and our mass stipend program supports, you know, thousands and thousands of priests who wouldn't be able to feed themselves. An example is in Ukraine, where in Ukraine, the stipends that we give to some of the Ukrainian Greek Catholic priests supports not only them, but their families, because 90% of Ukrainian Greek Catholic priests are married and have children.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So they are in war now, and they are in poverty because of it and because of the difficult places where they work. And yet that mass stipend, that, you know, a $10 donation that people make, supports these poor families who are, you know, literally on the front lines of the church.
Now, are these masses being said over in those countries, Edward?
Yes. Yeah. We have masses in over 100 countries every year.
Okay.
And they range from single low masses to tritium, novena of masses, and then the Gregorian series, you know, 30 consecutive masses for the repose of the soul. And, you know, it's another great blessing that not only are we supporting the church in its infancy, if you will, with the help of seminarians and religious vocations, but we also are helping them with the daily sacrifice of the Mass. And then, of course, there's all of these catechetical programs and pastoral relief programs that keep the church going. We have a very large project now in Lebanon, because Lebanon, where it used to be a Christian majority, the Christians are dwindling because of the schools. The Lebanese government controls the education system, and they pay the teachers. So they're still paying the teachers in very low salary, even though there's been, you know, hyperinflation. And so the teachers who were considered, you know, among the elite in society now make a month about the cost of one tank of gas. So they can, if with their monthly salary, they can fill the tank of gas. So what we have to do then is give them stipends, give them food to feed their families, and, you know, help them support by paying rent and things like that. This was unheard of 5 years ago.
Sure.
And yet, if we want to keep Christianity alive in Lebanon, a place that's a stone's throw from the, you know, the place where I heard God call my name, then we have to continue this.
Mm. And it seems like an important part of your job, Edward, besides helping, you know, these different countries and things financially, is really just like getting the word out there to people. I'm assuming you probably get to go on maybe different, like, maybe news shows or on TV or, you know, maybe different radio programs and such to spread the word.
Yeah, no, that's a great opportunity for me. That's why, you know, a longer format conversation like we have is a blessing, because there's more depth. Usually it's 2 or 3 minutes, you know, I get to talk about something terrible that happened, and also at the same time trying to show a message of hope. Because that's what's important, you know, that the church is not just a place where the sick come. It's a place where healing happens. Mm-hmm. And not only just healing, but rebirth and renewal. And so, you know, there's suffering, like Psalm 22. But there's also complete renewal, there's growth. And, you know, this is why it's so important for me, and I think for all of us, to support the church, and especially in places that are suffering, like AIDS in the church indeed does.
Edward, how can people find out more about the work that AIDS in the church indeed does, and possibly consider making a donation or having a mass said, you know, realizing what communities they can keep in their prayers? What's a good way for them to get more information?
Well, if you visit our website, which is churchinneed.org, we have a, you know, a highlighted banner up on top will tell you sort of the most recent things. But then we have news, and we have places where you can make donations, and you click on projects to see the different types of more than, you know, 5,000 projects that we do each year to help the church.
Okay, wonderful. That's great. And if I might make a personal plug, you know, when I over the years have been looking for different places that I wanted to make do some tithing and make donations. Something that's always been in my heart is I really am specific about wanting to donate to places where I'm really certain and trusting that these donations are going to help people and get where they need to go. And I got on good recommendation that the Aid of the Church in Need was really going to take any kind of prayers that you're going to give or financial assistance or really get it to the people that need it. And so I actually get to donate to the Age in the Church in Need monthly. And I would highly recommend to anybody out there, if you want to give to a group that you want to just count on for sure that the money's going to go where they're saying it's going to go, I would highly recommend donating to them. And as Edward said, please check out their website. And also, Edward, I believe EWTN sometimes airs specials from the Aid of the Church in Need, don't they?
Yes, we have a program called Where God Weeps that airs weekly on Aid of the EWTN. And it's also on the radio as well as in TV.
Okay. I would recommend people to check that out as well. That's where I've seen some programming from the Aid of the Church in Need actually on EWTN to kind of get acquainted with that. So that's wonderful. Yeah. And so, you know, I really appreciate Edward. We're almost wrapping up our time here. I really appreciate all that you do. And thank you for coming on to tell us about your personal story, but also to give us a way that we can be helping our brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, we're one body in Christ. And so whatever cross is going on anywhere else in the world, it's ours too. You know, we carry all this stuff together. And so it's beautiful that you're doing the work to like let us know how we can carry our cross together in life, you know?
Yes, it is important for us to do it. And thank you very much for your support. And anyone that is interested, please visit our website, churchinneed.org, for prayers, for opportunities to give, or just to learn and tell other people about what we do.
And the great thing, too, is if you have a mass said for somebody on there, then you can get the word out to more people. Because you're having a mass said, and you can say, hey, this is being said, by throughout the world and other countries, and kind of getting the word out to other people too. That's a great way to do that. So, but anyway, thank you so much, Edward, for coming on. Please know of my prayers and our prayers for your work, and please never stop. We so appreciate what you're doing, shedding light on the suffering in the church, and, help giving us an opportunity to, be sharing in this cross with our brothers and sisters. And God bless you and your family, Edward.
Thank you, Mary Kate. You as well. And for all the listeners, thank you and God bless you all.
Thank you. And we hope you all have a wonderful week. God bless you all. Take care. And always remember that you're in the Father's hands. Bye now.